Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 25 of Utopia to Me with me, Chris Locke. I wanted to do this intro right after I woke up from a nap, so it'd be funny, because you know how your head's all funny when you just woke up from a nap? That's what happened to me. So this is my post-nap head. But I think it's also funny because I feel like when I listen to this podcast, which I do sometimes, I'll be honest, I sound like I just woke up from a nap anyways. So now this is super double trippy. I woke up from a nap and now it sounds like I woke up from a nap, but also like doesn't it always sound like I woke up from a nap? It's like when you're in a bathroom and there's a mirror in front of you and behind you and it looks like you're just going on forever and ever. That's what's happening to me. 25 episodes. That's like a full quarter. That can't get much. Maybe can you do a phone call with that? Listen, this one's really good. This is Graham Chittenden is your guest, and he's the best. Me and Graham, good guys. It was fun hanging out with him. I'm glad he came over, sat on my couch. And you want to see something funny? Go on YouTube and look up Chris Locke, bad actor. There's a couple videos where I play a bad actor in like a Game of Thrones sort of style show. And the director's always yelling at me and mad at me. That's Graham Chittenden. So funny. And he's also one of Canada's best stand-up comics. Constantly touring all the time. You ask a lot of stand-up comics and they will say they look up to Graham because he's so damn funny. And so, yeah, it was a very fun time. And we somewhat developed a utopian world for him where he would live. And it was kind of neat. And you got to listen all the way to the end because there's all kinds of neat surprises. So you guys are great, as always. Thanks for listening. And we're going to get going with episode 25 with me, Bedhead, Chris Locke, and your awesome guest for this one, Graham Chittenden. Please enjoy.
You know, you're trying to be fun and loose on a podcast, and then you say something initially, and they look at you like, this part's the clean part.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I know. Or they mention that you're the guest, and then you say hi, and then they give you a look like, not yet.
It's compartmentalized. Yeah. I'm just going to do, for this podcast, I'm just going to every couple minutes, have we started yet? That's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Hey, have we started yet?
Yeah. No, this podcast is ultra loose. In fact, we're going to get some behind-the-scenes audio at the beginning. Like, I've already started recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is... as loose as it gets.
Have we started yet? And then, like, yeah, you want to
keep
natural,
saying that.
You're like, God damn it.
Yeah. Oh, you caught me.
That's like a, yeah, that's like a stand up being like, is the audience here yet? In a way.
Are you guys here? Yeah.
You guys here for real to see? Actually, I guess that does happen in stand up. They go on stage and they're like, you guys ready to laugh? And the audience is like, fuck, man. You're the third act.
Yeah. Oh, I do, yeah. Or the MC that does 20 minutes and then goes, you guys ready to get the show started? It's like you just discounted everything you did for the last 20 minutes. I was just goofing, guys.
Yeah. You know what I love? Maybe it's mostly in Yuck's gigs, because comedians don't like being the MC, but they'll take the gig. And then at the end of doing the whole MC open 15, 20 minutes, they go, you guys ready to see another act of the show or something? Like, they try to, like...
Oh, to make sure?
Your next comedian?
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to ingrain to the audience, like, I'm also a comedian, too, not just an MC for hire.
Yeah, I'm just having a little fun tonight doing the first thing just to switch it up. Like, yeah. They want to make sure you know, yeah.
But usually I'm the best one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You guys got a rare night when I'm MCing. If you check tomorrow, he's MCing again.
Yeah. So that's kind of what that whole thing is like, I guess.
Yeah.
In a way. Yes, we were doing an intro. Oh, God. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, it's a very lovely Monday evening, late February, right?
Yeah.
The temperature's dropped again. I've been complaining about the cold so much in this, like, the last few podcasts. January, February, forget about it.
But it's that kind of temperature where it's hard to not just notice it all the time.
I know. Yeah, I'm wearing long johns in my house right now.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, that person who agrees with me that the weather is really bad is Graham Chittenden. Graham, now you can say hi.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Graham, you're my 25th guest. Isn't that cool?
That's a milestone. That's
excited.
Yeah.
And we're going to go do the Alt Dot after.
Yeah.
That's a really fun show.
It is a fun show. It's gotten a lot. It's gotten really fun in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's gotten inversely good as the weather's gotten bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. And the worse the weather, if it's the apocalypse, it'll probably be the best show.
Yeah.
Just like sandstorms and black holes in our sky.
Good show tonight. Have fun out there, everyone. You're going to die.
Last one.
Last one, you know, because the earth is crumbling, but a lot of good riffs tonight.
Yeah. What is that? A black hole sucking you guys away from me? It is. Shit. You know,
well, then I'll leave you with this one last thing.
What else?
Well, yeah, what else can I tell you? You guys going to die soon? All right. Well, I'll leave you with this.
Here comes the tornado. I guess I should have said black hole. Black hole's weirder. But endless tornadoes for sure is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Apocalypse. Yeah. Anyways, anyone else here come from a tornado? Drop you off here? Yeah, you've done a million things. Let's talk about like how awesome you are at comedy first before we discover what your utopian world is. I like doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And I like people that may not know to get to know.
Yeah, what my utopian world is? I think this could be the greatest question ever posed to somebody.
Yeah.
As unsettled as myself.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll relax by the end. But you are, for those of you who for some reason don't know, Graham is like super funny stand-up comedian, writer, and also TV host.
Yeah, but currently only maybe doing one of those three. But I have done all those things. And yeah, like you said, you're right. I would say most people don't know who I am.
Isn't that nice?
It's not bad. I mean,
you can
I
go to the store and no one bothers you.
I want people to know who I am but not bother me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want. But then I want to be able to say to that person, hey, what's going on? And they go, oh, that's Graham Chittenden. Hey, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that sounds conceited. I just want...
Like you want them to stare at you until you feel obligated to say, hi, what's up?
But only because I want to be able to talk to anybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only because I just want to be able to talk to people like that.
Yeah.
It's like even just if you're in a small town.
Sycophants.
Yeah. I just want the whole world to be sycophants. Just all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi. What do you need, sir?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I just want everyone to be able to talk to each other. So I don't need to be famous, but it would help.
Well, I want this podcast to help with Canadian content for sure. Because the guests I have on are my favorites, mm-hmm. and I feel like we should be supporting ourselves more. So I hope this works. I mean, you've been doing stand-up. You're amazing at stand-up. People drop your name a lot as a major influence, by the way.
Really?
Or like a fan, like other comics.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even around to hear these comments.
I know. That's the problem with the biz.
Yeah.
Is they say it when you're gone. But yeah, people name drop you all the time as one of the best.
I didn't even know that.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
And you've been doing stand-up forever. You've done all the festivals. You told me you opened for Howie Mandel in a weird situation.
It was a pretty weird situation. Yeah. It was pretty wild.
You got to fly out privately to just, what was it, Detroit or something?
Flew to Detroit from Toronto, but I was in Ottawa for the weekend for Pug Halloween Fest. And I took the pugs. I took my pugs and we went there. And then I canceled plans on my girlfriend so much that I made it a decision that I wasn't going to cancel these plans. So I was in Ottawa Friday for a gig. Sunday was Pug Halloween. And Saturday the gig came up.
Pug Halloween is the date with your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we had the pugs in Ottawa. So we drove them to Ottawa the Friday. I did the gig. The comedy gig.
I actually didn't know about the Pug Halloween.
Yeah, we were there for Pug Halloween. What was it called? Halloween or...
Halloween?
Yeah, probably right. Something like that.
Yeah.
And then then the Howie thing came up. And so I decided I'm not going to cancel. I can make this work. So on Saturday, after doing my gig on Friday, I got up. I flew myself from Ottawa to Toronto, got to the part where the private jets take off, took off with Howie and just one other guy, his tour manager. We went to Detroit. We got in a limo. We did the show.
Yeah.
The classic Hollywood run-up thing where Howie ran off stage and right to the limo with no brakes. We got back in that jet, flew to Toronto. I flew back to Ottawa, and I was in Ottawa by, I think, midnight.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and then by the next day
from a show in Detroit.
From a show in Detroit.
Oh, my God.
And then by the next morning, I was walking around two pugs dressed like a lobster and a frog through a community center in Ottawa.
That's actually incredible. Was there a prize like pugliest costume?
Yeah, I think there were some prizes. It was like pride, but you can't beat those people.
And there were puns everywhere, right?
Oh my God, they love it. Yeah, Woofstock and Halloween, and oh, yeah. They love that stuff. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's you've done that a lot now because we just did. Actually, we've done a bunch of stuff together too. We acted together on Showtown,
yeah,
and on MTV. And if you guys watch there's videos on my YouTube page where I'm a bad actor in Game of Thrones, and Graham is the director that's had enough.
Those are great, and those were so easy for me because it was just talking to you.
Yeah, I feel like you had all you set me up perfect. You were perfectly annoyed.
I'm happy to be that guy. I like that. It was good. We worked together well because you have an imagination, and I'm really good at just having enough of something.
You're good at organizing flights and minuscule increments of time.
Oh, yeah. I made it happen. It was a logistics
nightmare. That's insane.
Yeah.
No, because I was going to say, because we also just did The Debaters together, the CBC show in Ottawa, actually. And then you told me another story there last week or whenever we did it about... like doing like a, didn't you fly yourself home like right after a show like recently there too? That was not the Howie Mandel story. It was like another one.
I flew to Ottawa one afternoon and did a show and flew myself home. Yeah.
Yeah. In an afternoon.
In an afternoon.
That's
what
it was.
I've
done
those. Yeah. I've done last night. I flew back from Thunder Bay. I had a show in Thunder Bay last night. I opened for, I was in Thunder Bay last night and was home.
That's what I'm talking. Every time I see you, you tell me a story like this, and no other comic that I know in Canada travels / works like you for just like these crazy solo shows.
Yeah, I was in that one. Wasn't solo though. That was just opening for Jerry on that one.
Jerry D.
Yeah,
who you write for right now?
Who I write for right now? And then
fourth season, Mr. D.
Fifth season, yeah, right now. Yeah. Fourth season, Tuesdays at 9:30.
Four seasons out, yeah. Fingers crossed, like he said, fifth season. So you guys flew to Thunder Bay and back in one night.
Yeah. So I was showering at my house in Brantford at noon, and we did a show that night in Thunder Bay, and then we did the Hollywood thing again where you ran out the back and you got into the car and we drove to the airport and we were on like a 10:20 flight.
And Thunder Bay is like, wait.
Yeah. It was like, is there going to be a meet and greet? No. It's going to be a run and go. I think one person saw us in the parking lot. They saw two people running to a car and they were like, we beat everybody out of the thing. We beat everybody out of the theater.
You want to meet us? Get out of Thunder Bay.
Yeah. You direct air traffic, then you're not going to see us. I'm sorry.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've opened for amazing comics, too. You opened for John Panet.
Yeah, John Panet. Yeah.
John Panet. Oops.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
R.I.P., even though I screwed up his name.
No, he was, yeah.
Yeah, you went. You toured with him, didn't you?
Toured with him a little bit. I only did half the tour.
Okay.
Yeah. Darren Rose did the other half for that one. But I got to do Victoria and Nanaimo. I got to do the good part of that one.
Yeah.
Clearly, I've been getting... A lot of tours in Canada are split up, and I've been getting the East a lot. And I don't hate the East, but it's just cold.
Yeah.
And so I got to go to... If I get to go to
West
Victoria...
West Coast is beautiful.
Exactly, yeah.
There's vegetation that's always growing.
Yeah.
It doesn't get killed.
Crazy to think that.
Yeah.
And there are old cars there that just haven't disintegrated from the salt on the road.
Yeah.
So it's not even like classic cars on the road in Vancouver. It's just someone will still have a 91 Cavalier that hasn't rusted into the ground.
Oh, should we talk about how you're a car freak?
We can if you think, these people listen to a comedy podcast are
interested. Tell the two cars, because that is funny that I noticed the vegetation. You noticed the pristinely kept nice old cars.
Of course.
Or not even nice cars, just cars.
That's the beauty of it, yeah.
Like a Tercel or something.
Yeah, any asshole can have a classic Corvette. But
a beautiful Tercel shining in the sun.
Exactly. You're like, how many miles do you got on that thing? 60,000 miles on it. Beautiful stuff. Yeah, a Tercel. You'll see like an Omni or a Chevy Acadian. Which is the extended Chevette for those of you who like crappy cars
of
the 80s.
Are you serious?
Stuff like that all the time. Because
is that the one from Wayne's World? No.
No, that's an AMC Pacer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You are crazy.
Yeah.
Just tell them the two cars you've bought so far.
Okay, I have a...
If you want.
I have a 1973 Volkswagen Thing.
Thing, right. Which is like a flimsy shell of a somewhat truck.
To be fair, it's kind of a Nazi Jeep. To be honest.
To be fair.
To be honest.
Yeah.
I don't have anything that I like about the Nazis, but Volkswagen put together a nice car.
Yeah, Volkswagen just happened to be there at the wrong time. That's all. That's all.
I know. So they so I have that. So it's the
like, what are you gonna not make cars if there's jerks all around?
So many people.
If that's your dream, make the car.
Yeah, I went to prom in Hugo Boss cologne, and he made
Right.
He made all the uniforms for the Nazis.
Didn't that just get out now? Like, people talk about that now.
It's a fact that's been around forever, but yeah, someone ran with it. People pick it up and run
with it. It's someone's new awesome bit right now.
It's like, it's the thing that some jerk says at every party he goes to now.
Yeah, like going, like, Hugo Boss?
Yeah, everyone has that fact they love dropping at parties to seem interesting. Yeah. Some people's is the Hugo Boss one.
Did you read that internet thing? That's what happened.
That's a weird thing that you say to people. Hey, did you see that video? That's a thing now.
Yeah.
There's videos out there.
Did you read that thing from the internet?
See the Chinese drummer kid? Yeah. You see the one where it's just all these things, and it's just known.
Chinese drummer kid? He was a Nazi.
He was a Nazi. That's just out there now. So I have one of those. And
then
I have
a thing. Look it up. It's really cool.
Yeah. And then I have a 1968 Citroën.
Yeah.
2CV, but the truck.
Also has a connection to military and is...
It's based on the... It's like the one French car that they made in the 30s, pre-World War II.
Okay.
And they hid it from the Nazis, which was dumb because the Nazis already had Volkswagens. So they hid their crappier car from the Nazis. They're like, we don't want to let the Nazis find this underpowered car.
That's fucking
when
amazing.
They cruise into France in their fuel-efficient Volkswagens.
So that's basically, you can play war games with your two cars.
Yeah, I have like what looks like a French ambulance and a Nazi Jeep.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. I didn't think I was going to get into cars, but they're just, you know, and I bought the Citroën from a German guy near Cape Breton.
Yeah.
Who was kind of living in a house that
when you were out riding for Mr. D.
Yeah,
And then you couldn't drive it back to Brantford where you live.
Yeah, it's a two-cylinder engine.
Yeah.
So it is the slowest car. I will challenge everyone who's listening out there, you've never been in a slower car than
this
car.
Like, can kids skateboard beside it and shit?
Like, you could, on a downhill, for sure. For sure. I got passed by a transport truck on a side street.
Yeah. Were you scared?
No, I don't care. People seem to protect it. They seem to feel bad for you.
Oh, yeah?
Like, it's a little bit like a turtle crossing a beach. People tend to kind of lock arms and protect you as you move.
That's really nice. Yeah. Like, hippies block.
Exactly, yeah.
Tanks from going over you.
Hippies just show up out of nowhere and form a blockade from this car. Yeah.
Hey, man, let the Citroën be.
That's what my car would sound like if it had a voice.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much.
Beep.
Beep, man.
Move, please.
Yeah. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we established a lot.
Yeah.
Tons of awesome stand-up.
Yeah.
Still doing it. We're going to do a show tonight. Excited. Writing for Mr. D and writing other stuff, projects all the time. And you were the host and writer for Showtown on MTV.
Yeah.
Imagine it was Mr. Show. I'm sorry, I looked over at my DVDs. There's Mr. Show DVD.
I love that you still have, like, DVD shelves.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Doesn't that look weird?
It doesn't look weird, but do you watch them? Do you still pop them in?
Guess what? Sometimes, like, when we're... Kathleen and I just watched Three Amigos the other night.
Nice.
You know, not going to say we weren't a little in a different state of mind. Where Three Amigos would work again.
It actually makes it more sense. It makes more sense that you were, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most of the time we're like, what do you want to watch, a movie? Yeah, sure. What do you want to watch? Do you want to watch one of yours? And okay, you guys can't see, but Graham can see. There's at least 100, right?
Yeah.
Maybe more.
And I recognize a lot. I had a lot of, you and I think would have a pretty similar DVD collection.
Yeah, so there's a huge selection. And it's like, do you want to watch one of yours? No. Like, never do I want to watch any of these.
Oh, of the ones you already have? No, you already saw them.
I know.
Like, the actual DVD is like having a check mark next to the list. I've already seen it.
That's
how you know. All these DVDs they've kept track of movies you don't need to see anymore.
Right. It's the biggest trick ever.
Like,
now you can own Robert De Niro and Raging Bull. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I feel like the only reason you and I have DVDs is because neither of us know where The Beat Goes On is.
What's that?
The Beat Goes On?
Yeah.
It's that place that bought used DVDs and used CDs.
Oh, darn. I'm sorry. I didn't get the reference.
I don't even know if anybody's still buying them. Like, it's one of those things where The Beat Goes On. It's like a used...
That's actually a good name for that.
It's a, yeah. But I feel like their time is almost up.
Yeah.
Even buying back the old ones is almost a dead industry.
The Beat goes on. They'll change their name to just Flatline.
Yeah.
Flatliners.
The Beat. Yeah. Let's change the name to I'll Leave You With This.
I think there is a weird psychology with DVD sales and stuff like that, especially when I watch them now, where, like, you can get, like, even now when you watch commercials, you can get everything on Netflix or download it or buy it on iTunes or Show Me, all these weird things, and then, or whatever, Hulu, I guess, and then they still have these commercials like, own the number one thing in your house now, like Avengers, and you're like, it's not about watching the movie and enjoying it again, it's about like being a part of something special that you're actually not a part of. Like, it appeals to that psychology. Like, be an Avenger, basically.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, have your own Avenger badge. Yeah.
Be Robert De Niro Avenger badge. Be Robert De Niro in Raging Bull. Just kidding, you can't, but imagine.
Yeah. Like,
that's what it's like.
Like, are there even liner notes? The internet is, you know, there's no, like, liner notes. Remember you get a tape when you were a kid, and if it had a really thick book for it,
you'd
be like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
All the lyrics.
Yeah, you wanted 30
pictures of the band.
Yeah, you can't even fit, like, your head on it, but you really want to live in it.
Yeah.
You want to live in this special product.
Yeah, that had, like, a big, thick, where you almost can't get the tape into the case. That was a good tape.
Yeah, like,
nice. Came with a little book.
Yeah, that's the psychology of it. It's like, do you want to play in this world?
Right.
But you're not. You're just holding junk.
Yeah, everything I own now feels like junk.
I'm so sad.
Yeah.
I have this old joke, maybe if you heard it, but it's, I put it on that album, but, like, I make fun of a guy having, like, a too big DVD collection, and it means, like, when you have that many DVDs, like, thousands of DVDs, it's like being like, hey, check it out. I don't like real life. You know? That's one of the jokes.
Yeah.
But that's totally about me.
Yeah, just having stuff?
I said it's another guy in the joke, but it's for sure.
It's you, yeah.
I know.
You get some good staples of them, though. You have some good staple movies.
Yeah, but if you're in a Bill Murray mood, or 80s Chevy Chase, Jack Nicholson, you can relax with that. I put these on in the background sometimes.
You can only be into 80s Chevy Chase. No one's into 2000s Chevy Chase.
80 to 89. It's even like it switched over bad in 90.
Yeah.
90 or 91, it was nothing but trouble.
Oh,
the movie.
Oh,
do you know that one?
No.
It's the beginning of the end.
But he was also in that one with Jonathan Taylor Thomas, right?
I have no idea.
Exactly, you don't.
That's so funny. I'm so sorry, guys, that we spent 10 minutes talking about my DVD collection and what it means.
We can cut this down, or we can read out every title in order.
We're not going to cut it down. I think this is very neat how this happened organically. DVDs, guys, do you have a lot? What's going on? What's the problem? Get rid of them. Find The Beat Goes On, sell them, get a few bucks, then buy some what? Magazines?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Buy magazines. We're like, is there only one article in that thing? There's so much less in a magazine than a book. It's not even like 10%. It's like 1%.
It's true. We hate internet articles because they're always like advertising to us, but magazines are just like that.
Magazines, you can't be satisfied by a magazine because either you read the first 30 pages and you're like, it's all ads.
Yeah.
And then you start to read an article, and you're about 300 words in, and you're like, wrap it up.
Or the article, you finish the article, and you realize, oh, they're just promoting, like, another thing.
Oh, of course,
that I'll pay for later.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, let's get on. Let's get past magazines.
Okay, so let's talk about consumer. Do you have any ideas about your utopian world so far?
I have none.
None?
I don't think I have any.
Like,
I think
if
I feel
you close
better.
Your eyes and you imagine your perfect utopian world,
yeah.
What the hell's happening there? Are there magazines everywhere?
No, I think there's nothing.
Wow.
I think there's almost nothing.
You're the first guest whose utopian world is just pure blackness.
Well, no, it's not black. It's there's sunshine.
Oh yeah.
And some kind of good flooring or grass, depending on inside or outside. But there's not much stuff.
What's your favorite environment to live in?
I find that I really like hotels.
Really?
Because you prioritize.
Yeah.
You bring 3 shirts.
Yeah.
You bring what you need. There's a place for it.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then you focus on other stuff. But when I live at home.
Right.
You got to manage the furniture.
Yeah. Tripping over DVDs.
Tripping over just, you're like, who watches this many Marx Brothers movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I did once.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of furniture bothers you at home?
Well, when we bought a house in the suburbs, so it was affordable. Don't worry. I'm not splashing my money around here. But the big thing is more like furniture that we don't use, but we took from people because we were afraid to not take it in case we needed it. So I have, like, extra kitchen tables.
Right.
And like now I have to do
both
something.
Sides of the families were offering you stuff?
Oh, and just friends and relatives. And, yeah, people are like, do you need a kitchen table? And like, well, we'll take one. And then you end up being so picky, you go out and buy one, and then you just have these three spares.
Right.
And then you just you leave it somewhere, and then my girlfriend will be like, oh, I'm going to paint that. I'm going to sand it, and I'm going to make it look shabby chic. And that was 4 years ago.
Right.
And now I just move it around. And I need to reconfigure the room.
Like, what corner does this sort of just be in?
I have a stack in the corner of the garage. I have a desk and then a table on top of it and then a dresser. Like, the table kind of straddles sideways.
Yeah.
And there's a dresser. And then I have a few shelves from some things all in a pile.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
They have a stockpile of, like, furniture that you sort of don't even want.
I don't want any of it.
So you want, like, to live in a hotel world where everything's pure functional.
Yeah.
Like, just the bed, the nightside table, the desk.
Yeah.
A lady that's nice.
Yeah.
That wipes it down.
Exactly. I think I do need a little of that, too, yeah. Where I just am so worried about everything that I need to have it all taken off my plate.
Would you want maids in this hotel world to take care of that stuff, too, like they have in the hotels?
See, I go back and forth on that, too, because, Voltaire's whole thing on tending the garden.
How Candide ends with him working in the garden. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I think you need that.
Right.
And other times I feel like Kramer when he gets an intern because he feels like what's holding him back from succeeding in life is his own laundry and his own food preparation.
The point of Candide was, I read it a long time ago. The point was that he should have had a garden the whole time, then he would have gotten wrapped up in all that nonsense.
It's the opposite of all the books you read now where it's like, drop all that crap and go for it.
Yeah.
All the books that are like, quit your job and just go for it.
Right.
This one is like,
be functional.
Get up, fold your clothes.
Yeah.
Make some toast. Do that dish. Make sure you're doing that dish.
Yeah.
Have a goldfish you feed and you'll be fine.
I just remember the guy giving him advice all the time was an idiot and the worst stuff kept happening to him.
Everyone who gives you advice is an idiot.
That's true.
Yeah.
What if these, I had this weird idea. What if the maids were like these weird faceless automatons so you don't have to care about them working for you? Doesn't that always, is that sort of what they're already like?
depends on how important you think you are.
But don't you feel like, in real life now when I go to a hotel, sometimes I feel bad that the maids like cleaning up my dumb shit.
But see, that's the funny thing is I like them to do I like them to finish off the cleaning.
Yeah.
But I'm a guy who likes to impress the maid with how little cleaning they have
Me
to
too.
Do. So they can't be faceless. They have to be someone that
smiles.
That I can say hi to.
Smiles and goes, thanks for helping my job.
Exactly, yeah. that guy's all right. Look at that guy.
When for real, would you like just like a world where it's like stacked hotels and no like environment? Would there be like an outside environment?
I need a hotel room in the middle of an orchard. That's what I need.
Like, not even a hotel with other people, just your own
just
hotel room?
Just my own hotel room.
What kind of orchard?
Doesn't matter.
Like apples?
I'd say something, pears.
Pears.
Yeah.
Sorry, I first suggesting apples.
I like a softer skin. I don't want my teeth to squeak across the fruit that I'm eating. I don't like apples.
Wow, good, man. That's so specific. See, I need this on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, because apples really crunch, and then the cold grabs your teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're almost like a trick.
And pears are real, like, the core of a pear is a real bit, a little bitch. If you decide today you're going to eat the whole pear, you can just do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that, too. I like that option.
Now that we know that the seeds don't actually make trees grow in your stomach.
I know. No, they don't. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
In my orchard, they do.
I really like that because I agree with you on the pears versus apples.
Yeah.
You know? Apples and pears. That's Cockney slang, actually.
Apples and pears?
Yeah, up the stairs or something like that. Apples and pears.
Yeah.
There you go. So hotel room in a pear orchard. I love that. You're just hanging out. There is a maid, but you're getting her job mostly set up for her.
Yeah.
She just has to knock it out of the park.
I think I just need people around me that like me a whole lot.
Oh, really? Like, do they live in the orchard, just looking out from behind the trees and go, hey, Graham?
They live near me, but they have to live on... They can be kind of close, but I can't see... I don't want them to be able to see me all the time.
Yeah.
Once I know someone's looking at me, the game changes, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right now, I'm afraid to go out of my house because one of my neighbors sits on her porch and smokes and faces me. And the second I walk out that back door and cross that threshold, she yells at me.
You know what's funny? Because you live in a house in Brantford, in a suburban area, I never picture you having neighbors. I always picture you in, like, the middle of nowhere.
Oh, that'd be great.
With the house?
Yeah. No, she's right next door.
And so what does she yell at you?
Well, just hello, but it's annoying.
And do you actually, like, if you say hello, are you stuck in a convo for a sec?
Yeah, that's the problem. But it's like the same conversation over and over again. Like, hey. What is it? Hey, neighbor. Hey, Nancy. How are you? Good. Yeah. Crazy weather, huh? Yeah. At least it's not Nova Scotia. I don't know what that means, but she says it every time.
Is that where she's from or something?
No, she's French-Canadian.
Weird.
Yeah.
And then went to Nova Scotia once and it just freaked her out.
Yeah, she's one of those people. She probably saw news footage of Nova Scotia one time.
Yeah.
And that was enough for her.
Yeah, ICE is in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, every day, yeah, one time. Yeah. So I know what she's going to say. Every time I say, every time I'm dealing with any kind of yard roughage,
yeah,
any kind of brush, she always just says, you should just light a match. You know, like to set it on fire because raking leaves is a horrible thing, and
yeah,
with branches is a horrible thing. So I know she's gonna say it, so it irks me. And then I know her dog's gonna bark every time I open the garage, and that irks me. So expectation kills me, so I can't have any expectation either. That's out of my utopia too.
So you want people that unpredictable, happy people that like you?
I think so. This is a tough question,
but you don't
me.
Want them to bother you.
That's the thing. I don't like anything. I have to not know what's going to happen next, I think, is my whole YouTube. Doesn't even matter what it is. Just don't tell me.
That is interesting how much you want everything to be, you know, you don't want to know what happens next, but you're kind of a guy that, like, settled into a suburban house pretty early.
I did, yeah.
Which is, like, the opposite of being, you know...
But
you do fly everywhere every day.
Yeah, I think I need both. Like, it's one of those things where I like being in the suburbs once in a while, but if I knew I was going to be there forever, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't be there and live there. It couldn't be my world. But it kind of has to be my getaway a little bit, I think.
You're just building up this house full of furniture.
It's
going to be worth a fortune, mostly because of all the furniture inside.
Exactly.
And then you guys will go on an adventure.
And when they cut me out of there and they find my body and they sell off that furniture... They'll be super impressed with how much money I could have had if I had sold that furniture.
And didn't let the furniture kill you.
Yeah, it didn't, yeah.
They're under a pile of furniture.
They're going to find me under a hutch. They're going to find me under a buffet or something.
Under a cute hutch.
Yeah. This guy's fucking dead. Look at this thing.
Okay, so I like that. What was the word I was looking for? I was trying to say unpredictable. You don't want to be able to predict the behavior. What's the word you're looking for when someone just, like, lives in the moment? You know? That's what made me pause.
Like spontaneity?
Spontaneity, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to be you want to live a spontaneous life.
Yeah.
But you're sort of settled in the suburbs right now. But in your world now, the only real regulated thing is the hotel room. And then you're surrounded by a pear orchard. But the rest is, like, the people-wise, it's spontaneity. How many people are on this planet, in this world? I mean,
yeah, you mean, like, is this the original Star Trek, where every planet is, like, about a soundstage worth of people, and they tell something to 40 people and the whole world saved, you mean?
Yeah.
I always love that, where Kirk, everyone gather around from the whole planet, I'm going to tell you something, and 40 people are like, he's like, don't hurt each other, and 40 people go, okay, and he goes,
I always thought
this planet.
That, too.
Yeah, it's like 40 people.
I always thought that. There's another tribe that's going to kill these guys.
Yeah. It was, like, think about the size of Earth. There was people who didn't know the war was over for, like, a year.
I know.
Before, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Everyone gather around this nook in California.
Yeah. it would be like getting a room together. Imagine getting a room of 40 people together, going into a legion and being like, people of Earth.
That's literally how cults start.
Yeah. People of Earth.
Yeah. Like little cults that are about, like, soundstage size in California. They're always like... happy because they're like, we're most of the people, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're changing. We're making a change.
Are we all here? That's what Mars is going to be like. Are we all here?
Yeah. Would you go to Mars?
No.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Those people are going to die.
It's a fancy way to say you're just going to kill yourself.
Yeah. The fanciest way.
It's the fanciest way.
What's a fancier way of killing yourself than going to Mars to just die?
Drowning in champagne, I think.
Yeah, people on Mars hear about that, and they're like, oh, damn.
Could have drowned in champagne? Can't come back from it. No, of course not.
Can you send some champagne to Mars?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, short of, like, eating diamonds or something. You can't, like...
Okay.
So, yeah, okay.
This
so,
has been an, we've been... it's been a little digressy today so far, but it's good. We're establishing stuff. Yeah, what were you going to say? Did I cut you off?
So, I need a weird mix of seeing people for a bit and then being left alone by myself.
Yeah.
That's my utopia, I think. And then I need challenge, and then I need rest.
And you don't want those people to say the same goddamn thing all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to learn. I want to talk to a new person every day. I want to learn. I like to learn. I'd like to meet somebody from a different profession every day of my life from now until the day I die.
That's so cool. I was just thinking about that. I talk to comedians too much.
Yes.
I was telling Kathleen, why is it the only time I learn about a cool country is when I'm in a cab?
Right, yeah.
Because I'm talking to the guy about, like, Bangladesh or something.
Yeah, I took a cab ride, and some guy, he's a cab driver in Toronto, but he had got married earlier in India, and he's had, like, he said he was 5,000 people at his wedding or something, some number that I can't even comprehend.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, but with comedians, it's like,
yeah.
Smoke a little
and
weed.
Then you're like, well, that's amazing. Well, here's my stop. I'm going to go talk to the hundreds of the same people again.
Of course, yeah. Like, I met a high-rise plumber last night.
He's
high-rise plumber.
In Thunder Bay?
In Thunder Bay.
So, like, a plumber that goes up to the top.
Yeah, he does high-rise stuff. So there's boilers, but up top, like, on the 75th floor, there's, like, boilers of water.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they still use boilers.
I was just picturing toilet shit.
You thought he just fixed toilets higher up?
He's whenever I think of a plumber, I automatically go to a guy looking for a wedding ring in a toilet.
They get small, man.
Yeah, I know.
There are people who do, like,
wedding rings and boilers.
You know what I found out about yesterday? Heated driveways.
What?
Heated driveways. You can have water pipes running under your driveway, and then just melts the snow all winter. And you have to have a system in your house, and you've got to, because you have to keep stuff in the water that doesn't let it corrode the pipes, you've got to put additives in. So then you have to install something in your water system that doesn't... let the water corrode, but then you also have to install a stoppage so that that poisoned water doesn't get back into the water system in your house. There's all this crazy stuff in every profession. Like, you know,
how
less
many
than
people
1%
have a heat.
Every profession.
Yeah. Well, you know a lot about that stuff because you're always like, I'm always surprised about how much you know about, like, trying to fix up houses and stuff. Like, no one in Toronto that does comedy, like, really thinks like that. We're always, like, talking about, like, where can we get the hottest food.
Right.
And then sleep forever.
But I envy it a little bit.
Like,
I,
you make stuff.
I do a little bit of everything, and when I could do one thing really well.
How many people have bought the warmed up driveway, the heated driveway?
Certain neighborhoods, it would be an option.
Doesn't that sound like a waste of water?
Well, but it circulates, so it wouldn't, there shouldn't be any, because if you're just heating the water, you're not consuming it at all,
right?
It would just run through over and over again.
Oh,
the condensation would
I could never invent something like that.
It's a closed system, but then you got to think about the drainage, because then all this water's running off because the snow melts.
So
it's crazy stuff.
So then you're just icing the road outside, underneath your driveway,
or... so they create drainage down the side and stuff.
God, man.
But I think I worry too much about that stuff. I shouldn't know. I should have, all that time I spent learning about that, should have written a new joke. I should have focused on my profession, you know?
Yeah, but now you're going to have this huge joke about heating driveways that no one else will have.
That's true, I guess. But I always think I'll just be this guy. There's no one in history. No one has made it in history for being a super well-rounded guy.
Really? What about the word Renaissance man? Weren't they cool?
But who's a true Renaissance man? Like Bo Jackson, because he played two sports?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, real Renaissance, like, you're still focused on something, like a piano. You know, even though you're crazy, someone who's like a, what's the word I'm looking for, like a piano.
When I think of Renaissance man, I do think of someone who's more like... yeah, just a guy that's enjoying watching other geniuses talk about stuff.
Right. Because a Renaissance man is just something
Like, what's the word? A dilettante.
Yeah, like people who just are bad at everything.
Yeah.
Think normal people are Renaissance man.
Like, isn't that what a dilettante is? Like a person that dabbles in a ton of stuff, but they don't.
Oh, really?
Focus on anything.
I've never heard that word, but I guess that's kind of yeah. That's what it. Yeah, exactly. So it's the same thing then, really.
Yeah, they're like, I'm reading a book about alchemy.
Yeah.
Right. And also, I just bought a harpsichord.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah, what's the difference between a Renaissance man and a douchebag? Like, what's... It's such a fine line.
Maybe there is no difference. Maybe the word just evolved into that.
Yeah, or maybe it's the things you pick. Maybe it's like, he's a bit of a chef. He can fix a car. But this guy's like, yeah, he reads about alchemy, and he's huge into, like, stitches. Like, you know.
Yeah.
He cross stitches, and he
won't eat certain cheeses because they're not aged enough.
Yeah, he knows a lot about cheese. And he learns languages that no one speaks anymore.
Okay, so there's no Renaissance douchebags in your world, except for you.
Yeah, except for me. I'm like, I'm that guy.
But I think, no, honestly, it is nice to, like, be interested in as many things. Because being a comedian, you sort of focus on the same damn stuff all the time. It's good to have hobbies. It's like what we were just talking about.
Yeah, you need something. Like, be a comedian for comedian's sake.
The gardener. You need your garden.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think also just being a comedian for comedian's sake or to get on TV by trying to get on TV.
Yeah.
You end up really
having no depth and what is life all about?
Yeah, I think now if you want to get on TV, you get into a trade.
I actually think being the funnier as a comedian is you don't spend a lot of your time thinking about comedy. Like, I don't really like even watching comedy anymore.
Yeah, it's tricky to watch it. Yeah. You should watch some, but it's people are pretty quick to say, oh, you got to watch everything that's out there. I don't think that's true.
I don't think it's true any to a certain point.
No, you should have a pretty good idea of what's going on, but then you should read that book about cheeses you've been putting off, or the book about alchemy.
Yeah.
You should pick up that harpsichord for a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch comedy, but then also read about cheese for a bit at least.
Yeah.
Okay. This is good. I just like having a regular conversation with you. It's fun, but we are building a world. You live in a hotel room,
yeah.
Pear orchard. You meet a different... Oh, yeah, that's what got us digressing before. The different people thing is really good. Like, really good. No one's actually really said that on this podcast yet, I don't think. The fact that you're going to meet a different person every time and they're going to teach you something or say something interesting about something you don't know about.
Right.
That's really cool.
That I really like.
Like a world full of cool cab drivers.
Exactly, yeah.
But they don't have to drive a cab anymore.
No, everybody, yeah, people who do weird things, people, jobs. Yeah. I mean, you want to meet people with jobs so interesting you didn't even know their job existed.
Yeah.
That is interesting to me.
Yeah, well, the guy who invented the heated, you think about that stuff all the time. You never think about it, like, before it happens. You just see these inventions and you're like, damn, how'd they think of that?
Yeah, I just did a show for a car company who's the head of it. His name is Johnson. I forget his first name. He invented the wall thermostat. He was a teacher in a schoolhouse. And the furnaces they used to kick on and get too hot. You have to shut a few metal doors on them and they get cold. And then you shut them. And then you have to keep calling the janitor in. And then he was like, I'm going to invent a thing.
That regulates it?
That regulates it based on, I'll use some mercury.
You met that guy?
No. The company was founded by that guy.
Yeah.
So just think about, it's funny because that guy was the name of the company, but I did it for the people that made foam seats for cars. That's what they did.
But they're so proud of the connection.
But it's interesting to think you have to make the foam. Someone has to design the foam seats.
Yeah.
Somebody has to forge them.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's like glass blowing.
Yeah.
Foam molding.
Which is not, those guys don't, they don't blow the glass for cars anymore. Did you know that? The windshields.
Glass seats.
Yeah, they couldn't get the same windshield twice, so they had to switch to some sort of automation.
Now glass blowing is only made, like, used for bongs.
Yeah, for exactly.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
It used to be cars.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so all these people are interesting. That's really cool. I like that. What kind of food would mostly dominate, aside from pears, in your utopian world?
What food would dominate?
Like, what's your favorite food? What would mostly be around?
I don't even think I have a favorite food.
Really?
I like cookies a lot, but I don't like how they make me feel, so I'm conflicted.
Yeah, but when Brent Butt was on, he's basically his utopian world, the whole thing was exactly like his life already.
So he's got it made, yeah.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah.
And then he could eat cheese sandwiches and not be affected by it.
Oh, so you're not affected by
it? That's you can go fantasy, even more fantasy okay. than a hotel room in the Orchard.
All right, if I wasn't affected by it, it would just be black coffee and chocolate chip cookies.
And then you just look at the pears.
And then and then the pears just to cleanse my palate for the next batch of cookies.
Right. Cleanse yeah. something. Yeah.
yeah. Or if you're, you know, but the beauty of it is if they're on the whole orchard, the pears are for when you're out checking out your acreage, you can just scoop one up from anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you're.
Is the whole world a pear orchard full of interesting people?
Well, I don't get off the orchard much. People come to me, I guess.
So you don't even know?
I don't know.
You're like that frog that lives in a well. You don't know about the ocean.
I know. I'm like, what's Malcolm Gladwell's thing, the worm and horseradish?
I don't even know about that. He doesn't know a world outside of horseradish?
Yeah, to a worm and horseradish, the world is horseradish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stole that. That's old Taoist.
No, it is.
Stuff.
No, it is, yeah. He stole it, but I'm saying he yeah. used it.
Oh, he says I got this from this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I heard it.
I didn't read that book. Is that Outliers?
Well, he did it in one of his TED Talks about the perfect Pepsi.
Really?
Yeah, how you can't, there isn't one perfect Pepsi.
This is a... ignorant of me. I can't get by his hair.
Well, I didn't know he had that hair when I read the first book, so I got through it okay.
And then when you do realize he has that hair, you're like, I don't know. He's
oh,
okay.
yeah. You're like, yeah. Are you just hip?
He has really cool hair, actually.
He does.
I'm just joking. I'm just jealous because I'm bald. Yeah. Okay, yeah, exactly. Worm and horseradish. That's you in a pear orchard. I like how your own perfect utopian world could be more, but you don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what my perfect world is.
You don't know what's out there.
I don't. Sometimes I think I want to live in something busy. Sometimes I think I want crazy go. And like I was in Hawaii,
yeah.
and it was great. And by the end of the week, you're like, there's no conflict.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Sucks.
Yeah. Right.
And other times you're in New York and like, oh, man, stuff happens here.
So maybe every now and then you have to fight back people that are trying to invade the pear.
Every once
orchard.
In a while, I let people take a go at my pear orchard. I relax for a couple of days.
So do you have an artillery just in case?
Just whip pears at them.
Yeah, that's wicked.
Yeah.
There's no weapons in your world, eh?
Just
pears?
Just pears.
Yeah.
And a wall.
Just, like, hit them with pears and then they run smack into a wall.
Exactly.
I like that it's a giant pear orchard and then you're just walking along every now and then and a guy pops up like, hey, I invented the water hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, interesting.
Come sit down, yeah.
Come sit down, have cookies and coffee.
Explain how that, yeah.
Oh, sweet. This is really good. I like it. It's very specific. This is a new question that I just added to this beat sheet number two. I had a beat sheet for a while.
Nice.
Have you ever watched a movie... and thought, I would love to live in that world. And what movie would that be?
Oh, that's a good one.
So we can add elements to this already beautiful pear orchard
world. Yeah. Have I seen...
Like, you ever watch a movie and it's so... Like, we were just... Oh, I should have started with that.
Oh, yeah.
The DVD thing was
around.
Such a good lead-in.
Yeah.
I'm still learning, Graham.
It's okay. You're doing good. You're doing a good job.
Yeah, now you're looking at my DVDs like,
well,
yeah, Taxi Driver.
Well, to be fair, yeah. I don't think, it's funny you missed that. I did think, would I want that craziness? Because by comparison, all the things I worry about now would be gone. If you live in a crazy world, the small stuff fades away. The stuff that irks me now, I'd be like, hey, I didn't get shot today. I'm doing good.
Well, in a way, Taxi Driver, like having that assassination mission is Travis Bickle's garden.
Yeah.
It gave him something very meaningful to
I know.
Work
some people
on.
Would probably meet him and be like, you know, you seem focused. You look good.
Like the guy who like almost got assassinated, they should have ended the movie with him being like, good work.
Yeah, look at you. You're looking like, you know, you get up every day. You're keeping your head nice and shorn. You're like working out. You look good.
In fact, holy shit, that movie was inspirational for... a sicko, right? That tried to kill Reagan. Did you know that?
Oh, no, did he? Yeah, was he like, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's one of those articles I read.
Huh.
Years ago.
Yeah.
The guy who wanted to kill Reagan, who shot him, actually, watched Taxi Driver and fell in love with Jodie Foster and wanted to impress her.
And
that's real.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he thought, shoot, this will get her.
Yeah. Did you see?
She wasn't even impressed with Travis Bickle particularly. She
no.
kind of was, but she was like, I guess I'm glad it happened, but
yeah,
I don't know what all this fake gun stuff is. yeah, I don't know what world I want to live in. Like, I want to, yeah, the You have a real joke.
If you guys remember the end of Taxi Driver, he pretends to blow his brains out.
Yeah, which is
and
weird.
Jodie Foster's like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like, what are you, nine all of a sudden?
Yeah, grow up, Taxi Driver.
I got you.
She calls him Taxi Driver.
She calls him Taxi Driver, and his last lines, they cut it out of the movie, but he shoots himself in the head with a fake gun, and he goes, I got you. And he goes, no, you didn't, like how kids do, you know?
Yeah. And then he throws a temper tantrum.
Yeah. And then, you know, the cops show up and ruin the fun.
Yeah. And if you watch the end of the credits, there's a big block letter that's letters that say, you could be Taxi Driver.
You had to send a couple of, yeah, from cereal boxes, you had to send a couple of the flaps in. You could be Taxi Driver.
Now you can be the Taxi Driver. Go out there and do something.
There's a whole scene where he does the whole thing where he kills all the pimps with that fake gun. And they're like, this looks off. And they gave him a real gun
but
instead.
But they play along because they think he's like mentally challenged or something.
Just played dead.
They're all the pimps being like humoring. Like,
yeah.
Weird.
Ooh, like when you play with like your 9-year-old nephew or something, you're like, ooh, you got me.
Ooh, you got me for real. Better save the prostitutes. Good job.
Yeah, exactly. I would watch that. My Utopia, every Friday we show our version of Taxi Driver.
Maybe that question doesn't work that much in this instance.
Well, looking at your collection, I am incredibly fascinated by the idea of like a minus the zombies, like a 28 Days Later situation.
So what would that be like?
Like part of my curiosity, like being the last man on Earth, really appeals to me.
Yeah. Well, that takes us back to this solitude that you were sort of hinting at earlier.
Yeah. Only just for
your neighbor bothers you that much.
Yeah. Yeah, if you listen to this, Nancy, and I know you're not. No, I'm just kidding.
No, she will.
She will somehow. That's the kind of life I have.
Hi, neighbor. Heard your podcast. You should light it on fire.
That's my fear. That's like my big fear of like having to go through that. I want to be the last man on Earth for a year.
Like just sort of exploring ruins of like modern society.
Exactly. Just everything.
Yeah. Eating.
I just want to go through everything.
Cookies that were long forgotten.
Exactly. But I want to see where they were made.
Yeah.
I want to just want to get hammered a couple, really hammered. You know, the kind of hammered you don't get because there's other people who are around and judging you.
Oh, yeah. You can get like spiritually hammered.
I'd get so lit that first day.
Yeah.
And then you'd sleep it off. There's no pressure to get this hangover done with.
Yeah, you ever get so drunk it becomes spiritual? Like you look at the sun and you try to touch it and stuff?
No, have you?
Maybe not the sun, but like I've tried to probably like touch a flower and been like, I wish I could live in you.
My hangovers are very self-loathing.
Oh, really?
So mad at myself.
Not hungover. I mean, in the peak of the spiritual drunkenness.
Oh.
That's
even
what I'm talking about.
Even then, I'm like, I already know when I'm hammered that I'm mad at myself for the hangover.
Right.
That's how much I worry about stuff.
You getting super drunk is like just going to the top of the roller coaster, and then you're like, fuck.
Big chore, yeah. Let me off, please. That's what I say at the top. Can I get off, please? Can we stop this? Yeah.
So you just want to enjoy a really bad hangover in solitude.
Just
in like the rubble of what once was.
I don't want to feel like I wasted a day by being hungover. And if I was the last man on Earth, I don't think I'd feel that for the first time in my life.
So you'd actually enjoy this hangover?
Yeah.
You want to be the last man on Earth so you can enjoy a hangover once and for all?
Once and for all.
With no guilt.
I have so much fear that I'm running a race against everyone else on Earth right now that I need them all to go away so I can just take a nice leisurely walk for once in my life. That's what I need. When I was a kid, I used to go to sleep at a pretty decent time, and one night I accidentally stayed up late and watched TV for the first time, and I was terrified that I'd never catch up. I was worried that by missing that day, I could never get that amount of sleep back, and I would be one day's tiredness.
That's
I'd have
probably
one day's
still happening to you.
Yeah,
you missed
I know.
That day.
I missed that day of sleep, and I feel like I never got it. Like I was so worried I'd never sleep properly again.
Insane.
Yeah, and I was like 8.
Yeah.
And I could vividly remember, I was watching like classic.
8-year-old, you could have a job.
I was like, I'm behind. I missed the day of sleep.
8 is young, I'm just kidding.
I know. But
you
I was
believe
like,
in ghosts at
I'll
8.
Forever be off kilter.
It's true.
Because of this, I missed the sleep at 8.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I still worry about that. That's what I mean when I miss a day for a hangover.
Wait, what did I missed it? What did made you miss the day of sleep?
Nothing. I just stayed up. I just stayed up watching TV. Because in the basement, and no one made me go to bed. I don't know why. And I was watching like boxing. I don't know why I remember there was boxing.
Well, you grew up
on
in
TV.
A big family, right?
Yeah.
And you're the youngest?
No, I was second oldest.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I thought you were the youngest for some reason.
No, no, second oldest, yeah.
Oh, that's why. They don't care about you at that point.
No, I know. So I was really trying to make a splash, you know? Really trying to make a name for myself in a house where everyone had the same name.
Hey, I'm the tired one.
Yeah, I am. You're a little off. Are you a little off? I missed a day of sleep in 1991.
Yeah.
So
I'm the little off son.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, you're that kid. You're the chicken that missed that sleep that one time. Yep.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so funny. You're one sleep behind for the rest of your life.
Well, my whole life, I'm one day off.
Because then you can't even make it up, because if you sleep through a day, you're one day off.
That was what we were up, yeah.
Yeah.
You just missed that day. That doesn't count. Yeah.
Do you think that if you're the last person on Earth, say, so this is not your utopian world, but let's go to our Earth.
Yeah.
Because you do want that. If you were the last person on Earth, would you still have a guilt complex about stuff? Like you were saying... You wouldn't with the hangover, but I wonder.
No, you still would. You're pretty hardwired into you.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Like if you say you masturbated in the middle of the street on a busy downtown, but no one's around, you'd still sort of feel like some omnipotent eye is watching you or something.
I'd probably even just think that there's probably still a tape recorder running somewhere. Like somebody right before they vanished from the earth. Turned on their GoPro or something.
Or it's a trick. They're let's hear what the guy that thought he was alone
did. I would think it was a trick. I'm so untrusting.
Yeah.
I'm that guy that I used to just wave sometimes if I was alone.
At the sky or at the wall?
If I was in a room, if I was in a washroom or something, I would just wave because then I was hedging my bets. If I was alone, no one would see it. But if someone was taping me, they would think I knew they were taping me.
That's deliciously paranoid.
Yeah.
I like that because I can sort of relate.
Yeah.
But it would be more like if I was going down in the basement and it was dark and I hadn't turned the lights on yet and I thought there was a ghost or something, I'd sort of be like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be so they know I'm friendly.
Imagine the ghosts are does he know we're here?
Yeah.
That's what you're hoping for, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like the ghosts from Casper. They're like, we're cool, man.
Yeah.
This is amazing. So do you like your world so far? Most of your pear orchard and all these interesting people? You are conflicted. You want interesting people to meet every now and then, but you really love your solitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like people pop up only when you want that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, to some extent.
Like you're not going to accidentally bump into a guy or a girl and learn something about their lives.
I would. I'll always but I don't want... I mean, I need some time where I know it'll just...
You know what's going to happen?
Yeah, I just like to... That's when I want...
Today, meet guy in an orchard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Send in a new guy. What does he do? What do you do? I already talked to one of those guys. Hydraulic engineer?
Ah. Cancel orchard meeting.
Yeah.
Is there relationships there?
Yeah, I would say so now.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Bernadette's here, sorry.
That's okay.
She comes in every now and then.
I would...
She's the boss.
Yeah, she is. I'm glad she's back, too.
Yeah,
that's crazy. See, and I would... In my utopia, I'd be able to find out what Bernadette saw when she went missing.
That is amazing.
I'd want to know that.
For those of you, for some reason, that didn't follow the craziness, Bernadette, my cat, ran away for 8 days. And that is one of the things that bugs me. I don't know anything about where she went. And they can't explain themselves.
Yeah, that's
what I want to take this moment then to say that you have four dogs.
I do have four dogs.
And they can't talk to you either.
No, and two of them were strays, and they were found wandering the streets.
So they have crazy stories.
So I want to know what they did for
that time. They're probably so hungover.
Yeah, they were so hammered. They fell in with a bad crowd. They thought it would be cool, and then they found out that they couldn't wash anyone's windshields, so they couldn't make any money out there. And... Someone scooped
them up. Dogs can't wash windshields.
Yeah, they can't make any money.
The squeegee guys always have dogs on their lap anyways.
Yeah.
I feel like Bernadette distracted us. Damn it.
I know.
What were we talking about?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about relationships. Yes. And, there would be.
Yeah.
Though I would have told you otherwise 5 years ago.
Right.
10 years ago. I guess I've been in a relationship longer than 5 years.
How long have you guys been together?
7 or 8 years, I think. Yeah.
So 10 years ago, it just would have been
an
orgy.
But they would have been bust in because the solitude would have been important. But even the orgy is not the relationship. That's what I would have wanted 10 years ago. Bust them in for the orgy, bust them out.
Yeah. Now you want them bust in for a relationship.
But now I'm one of them can stay and watch Netflix. Right? Like, I would want, or I want to have someone that I could tell about the orgy after it was done.
Yeah.
That is, that's sort of new. And maybe that's just because you live a lot longer than you're meant to, but you just want to, I don't know.
That's why Netflix was invented now, for relationships.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because you could,
it was like, look, stop fighting. Look at all the options.
Well, I think it's funny. You do want to be with somebody, but you don't want to necessarily talk to them all the time.
No.
There's a certain...
That would... I feel bad for people out there that are with someone that doesn't get that part.
Yeah.
Tries to talk to you the whole time.
But the only way this is going to work is, yeah, we can't talk about the days that we were together because we were there for them.
Yeah. Damn, I feel like we have to wrap this up soon because we have to go to this show.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that bad, though.
Well, we can hit some key points.
Yeah. Are you having fun?
I'm having a great time.
You guys listening, are you having fun?
I hope. Are you where you're driving to yet? That's the only time I listen to. Where do people who don't drive listen to podcasts?
I always think that. I think they're either driving, flying, or on an elliptical machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would there be any kind of... what would the soundtrack be to your world? Like, what music do we have going on? I remember in your car once, I was like, have you heard this band? Have you heard this band? I played you some music, and you were like, I don't know. You might not be that big a music guy, right?
I am, but I don't. But I get so exhausted of trying to keep up with it that yeah. I'm one of those people. That's why I need to be
alone.
So
then what do you stick with?
I don't even really stick with anything. Like, even the stuff I used to listen to, I don't even like anymore.
Yeah.
I like some classical. I like some jazz. For some reason, I go back to Neil Young a lot.
I just picture jazz reverberating around an open, sunny sky pear orchard.
Like, but just playing spookily. Like,
just you sitting there, like, looking around, pleasant. It's like...
Yeah,
almost spookily, like the end of The Shining or something.
Yeah, we're just echoing down a hallway, even though we're in an orchard. Is there a hallway here?
Yeah, it's coming from a tomb.
I'm going to have my whole orchard's going to have three of those metal speakers that they had on army bases in movies. Attention. Jazz now.
Yeah. Radar is in your utopian world.
Yeah, radar. Just his voice.
Coming up, more jazz.
Exactly, yeah. And then,
okay, so I like that. I'm satisfied with reverberating jazz through army speakers. What about... some of these questions, like government and religion, you're kind of like in such a solitary world that it doesn't seem like there's much reason for that, right?
I'd want...
You could have your own religion if you want.
I'd want it all to... I guess I would... Not religion, but I would want some kind of government.
You would?
A small one. I want one that... I mean, I want one that like, I undo it in. I want... it to be so functional that it's always for a purpose. Like, there's no...
maybe the government is the maids of your hotel room.
Maybe. Like, or that's who sends them.
Yeah.
Because if I have to plan their work schedule, that's just work for me.
Right.
I can't have that. I might as well clean the room and save myself having to write a schedule for maids every week.
Yeah.
Because Lupita needs Saturday off and, you know, Sam doesn't work Tuesdays because his kid has whatever. I don't want to get into that. Work will always find you somehow.
So, I just pictured Sam and Lupina are married.
They are. And they can't work same shifts because they hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're saving their marriage.
They get no work done. They just bicker about everything.
So the government sends these Sam and Lupina. They
it's
make
like,
the schedules.
It's a government that's based on what's going on around them and nothing that happened before.
It's very grassroots.
It's pragmatic.
Original idea of government.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I feel like, yeah, cities grow faster than the plan for government does.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's weird. And no religion. But I don't like religion. But you know what I really like?
Do you like
I remember in a really small town, you know, a church. And I always picture the women that are there making sandwiches for people. And I love that. I love a gathering place.
Yeah. So a community event.
Yeah. Like when a church is now used for a community center.
Yeah.
Like churches should have always just been potluck dinners. No sermons.
But this is still hanging out with people on your say. Like,
I think, you know what? It's funny. I think
by
just
your control.
I think in the minutes we've been talking about this, my idea of the orchard has actually just shifted to like a bit of a Downton Abbey situation.
Okay.
Where I live in the 1,000 acres on top of the hill.
Yeah.
But there's a town around me
where
people are living
in it. It takes an hour to like really
yeah.
see it.
So Downton Abbey, but no castle, just one hotel room.
I've never seen Downton Abbey, but I'm saying yeah because I can imagine.
Well, the idea is, yeah, there's like these people have their property.
Yeah.
But they also are, their money is like the blood of the town. Where there is a town that sprung up from people who have to serve this area. Right. So there's a little tavern that you can go to.
But
and
it's
again,
not,
that's that option.
It's past the feudal era.
Yeah.
But it's still sort of designed like that. Yeah.
It's like it's an aristocracy, right? Like
yeah.
It's, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're the lord.
No. I don't know.
Come on. Be the lord.
Yeah. All right. All right. I'll be the lord. Sure. But I want to be a nice lord.
I want to
be a lord so everyone
lord
knows.
Lord of the pears.
I want, yeah. Who, Pear Smith? Yeah, he's, yeah. I want to be the lord who doesn't make anybody do anything.
You know what you can call your town?
What's that?
Paris.
Paris.
It's spelled like by pear.
Yeah.
Is.
Pear, I like it.
Pun.
Paris.
Your utopian world is Paris.
Yeah.
Can you just call it that?
Yeah, it's Paris. Paris, just everyone lives off pears. There's a little pub down there that everyone down there loves, and I can pop in.
Yeah. And you're like, what's your job? What's your job? And they're like so happy to tell you because you're the Lord.
Right. Yeah. And they're like, yeah.
Wow, we've really... See? You have to push it sometimes.
I'm the benevolent Lord of Paris.
You have to put... Guys listening, see? Sometimes you have to push it. You have to digress. You have to really explore so you can get such a clear view of what you really want to do.
Yeah. If I worked this hard on my scripts, they would... be developed and they'd come together perfectly.
Do you want me to interview you about your script ideas sometime?
No. Oh yeah, maybe, yeah.
Like, what's this guy's motivation?
I don't even know why I wanted, that's another thing, like work like that, I don't even know why I do it.
Oh yeah, maybe they don't know, but you're writing a feature script right now.
Yeah.
You want to say that?
Or yeah,
that
you can say that. Well,
you know when you're still working on something, you feel like you jinxed it when you say it?
It's felt jinxed the whole time, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I take work, I'm like, why did I do this? And you know what I realize it's for? It's going to be for that one email I get where someone goes, ah, good job.
Yeah.
You're like, I slaved on this.
Yeah.
It's all for one email where it goes, ah, it's really, really neat.
I created a world.
Yeah.
I'm a lord.
Yeah. Where you're like, that's neat.
Yeah.
I will work. I'll slave. I'll pace my house.
Yeah. Or they're like,
for months.
I like the part when the guy's pants fall down. You're like, yeah.
Yes.
That's like,
I thought of that. That wasn't a thing till I made it.
Yeah.
And you like it.
Think about guys that create whole worlds, mythological worlds, like Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah, you're like,
what are you doing?
I always think it'd be like a fraud. Yeah, because I was the whole time I'd be writing that people are going to go, well, people are just going to sit there and watch it. If I tried to create something like Lord of the Rings, I would picture people at home going, that's not a real thing. That's all I can picture people saying. Like,
yeah.
That's why I could never change my name.
I love the idea. Why?
Because I just picture people sitting there going, that's not his name.
Have like, you actually thought Ringo? About that career-wise?
Oh, yeah. They told me right from the get-go to change Graham Chittenden because no one remembers
who's
it.
Who's they? Yuck Yucks?
You know Steve and Ajax?
Yeah.
Whose name isn't Steve?
Oh, really?
It's like, you know, it's a name that's normal in some other country. You
his
know?
First name is Chittenden.
His name is, yeah, it's Chittenden. I took the Chittenden out of my name. His first name is like
should be Graham Steve.
Fondiari. Well, I thought about names like that, Graham, but people are going to go, you know.
Well, Graham K is K-A-Y, but he's... brought up K-E-A-Y, so he dropped the E.
Oh, because it didn't make any sense.
That's a little difference, though, because then he'd be introduced every fucking show, you know, when they're like, K-A?
Yeah.
He's like,
Kia?
Well, even with Locke, with an E on the end, I still sometimes get called Locky.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, see, and
isn't
eventually...
Isn't that insane?
So, did you ever think of dropping it?
No, because then it feels like the rest of... It feels like the bottle's open, like the rest of the word will fall out.
The E's the cork, man.
The E is the cork to my name, man.
Yeah.
You don't want to let that out.
Yeah.
So what did you think of? I think the establishing that you live in Paris.
Yeah.
And you're the Lord on the mountain and everybody's happy to see you when you go to the pub and you have like church-like picnics and everybody has an interesting job that you've never heard of. I think all that stuff is really great. Haunted jazz is echoing.
Haunted jazz. Again, sort of a Socratic, nobody knows anything, but we're doing this anyway kind of a vibe. That's what the religion is that nobody knows. The sermon is like, I don't know, and neither do you. So let's get to the meal that these ladies prepared for us. I don't mean ladies.
I love it.
Sexist.
It sounds very Eastern.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, you don't know, let's just be.
Let's just be.
And eat this pie.
Yeah.
Cookies. Cookies, coffee. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So maybe there's a hotel room in the middle of your mansion.
Yeah, just one that I live in.
Yeah.
I don't touch any of this other crap. Yeah.
So wait, I think, yeah. So I thought we've established that. I think that's pretty tight. I really like it. Now, can I please ask you, what are some of the names you thought of changing your name to for stand-up or comedy?
Well, my middle name is Roger, so my instinct originally was to change it to, like, but I didn't want to do Rogers because it was, like, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll just do Graham Roger, and then people would just pluralize it on their own, so that didn't work.
No.
And then it was just, so then I thought of, like, you can't do anything too flashy because it sounds dumb, but I think I thought of, like...
Graham Muscles.
Graham Power. Graham Zing. And, like, you know,
Graham Pepsi,
yeah. But, you know, you can't have that little TM next to your name.
Yeah, yeah. So, right. So you really didn't think about it?
Briefly, because, and it made sense, because it's just people, I would think that people are not as dedicated to their jobs as you think they are. Yeah. And you think everything is a perfectly calculated decision on who gets what, but it doesn't come down to that sometimes. I think at the end of the day, a person who's giving a job to somebody is going to call the person whose name they know they'll be able to pronounce on the phone.
Right.
If you had two resumes and you have, like, Mike Brown and you have, you know, Graham Chittenden, that person is like, well, either of these guys will work, and I don't have to call up and go, Graham Chittenden, I'll just call Mike Brown.
Wow. That's a shitty, totally true thing.
I think you lose a lot of coin flips that way. Or they go, oh, there's two comedians on the show. What were their names? Mike Brown and Graham, I don't know, something.
But you kept Chittenden.
I kept it.
Which is the wisest decision. Because when someone does become super successful, the world comes to their name.
That's true. I mean, it's a gamble.
What I like.
It's a gamble I'm taking right now, yeah. That people will be like, that people will Schwarzenegger my name into the lexicon.
In Canada, people are already Chittendening around.
Yeah, throwing it around?
Yeah.
Can you spell it?
Chittenden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it a lot, though, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's another good thing about Facebook is you see these, and like Twitter and stuff, you see these names a lot more.
That's true. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then you're like, weirdly, I know all about this person before I even talk to them sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's weird. You can change your personal name that people use in public by changing your Facebook name. So, like, what's your middle name?
Mine?
Yeah.
Robert.
So, like, Chris Robert Locke. I think if you had started your Facebook profile as Chris Robert Locke, people would see you out and be like, hey, Chris Robert Locke.
Yeah.
And then you'd become Chris, you know.
You're totally right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people have joke names, and then you almost want to call them that joke name.
Yeah.
My actual full name is Christopher Robert St. Pierre Locke.
Is it really?
Yeah, because St. Pierre is my real last name.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Locke is my power name. No, right. I'm just joking.
Your power, yeah.
That's my stepdad's name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's on your driver's license?
St. Pierre Locke.
Ah.
So when I fly, I have to book St. Pierre Locke, or else if it's just Locke, they get mad at me.
Oh, right, because
that's what happened with debaters recently.
Oh, yeah. They, yeah.
They said, we have to charge you. And I was like, oh, darn, sorry. Yeah, I knew it. My employer's booked it. So I just sat there and... I knew they wouldn't. And at the end, they're like, we're not going to charge you this time, but you usually.
Oh, wow.
But it's a big deal.
Yeah.
St. Pierre is like a part of it. It has to be.
Wow.
It's my
That's
passport.
A long, yeah.
Long ass name.
Yeah. You should go by Pierre Locke.
Pure Locke.
Pure Locke. Chris Pure Locke. That's your name.
Well, I didn't like starting out in stand up because of Chris Locke. It sounds like Chris Rock.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw Chris Rock at this show. He jumped on the. To work on that SNL bit he did that at Whiplash in New York. And then I went up to him and I was like, should I, after all these years, like over 10 years of doing comedy, should I tell him? And I just went up and was like, hey Chris, my name's Chris Locke from Toronto. I just did stand up before you went on, and I was always worried about having this, like, that name, because people would be like, oh, he's like the shitty white version of Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And then Chris Rock just kind of looked at me and went, and then looked away.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
I said it. There you go.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah. You should have got that story to him in, like, about 92.
Yeah.
Before he'd had, like, 10 million people try to connect with him.
Yeah.
Even though I think you have a legitimate connection.
Yeah.
I think everyone who's ever talked to him probably was like, I've seen CB4 30 times, like everyone who sees him.
Yeah, no, I know. He is Chris Rock, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's huge.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, anyways, we don't have to go on about that.
We can.
I feel like I've probably told that story maybe twice in this podcast already. Okay, so we ended up, we got digressed again, but I like that. It was about names, and your name is Graham Chittenden, and you decided to stick with it, and I'm glad you did, because I think it will be one of those things where people are like, Chittenden, that's how you say it. You don't know, you're an idiot. Like, that's the thing. If you don't know how to say a cool guy's name, you're dumb.
Well, then I got to just make sure I maintain my coolness.
Yeah, man. Just go punch a nerd.
That's my job, yeah.
Punch a nerd on TV.
You want to go cruise some nerds? Yeah, you want to go, yeah.
Nah. Nerds, there's no such thing as a nerd anymore.
There's no such thing as even lunch money anymore.
Yeah.
You'd be like, you couldn't even steal lunch money anymore. You'd be like, debit $3 off your card for me.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you stand behind a guy and force him to get more food than he wants.
Put it on your debit.
Yeah, get 2 donuts, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
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 Cool. Well, is there any last thoughts you want to say about this Paris that we've discovered?
Well, I think the only thing that keeps me going is I don't know what my perfect world is.
Yeah.
Because if I ever get it, I'm so afraid to get what I want because I'll just stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right about the Hawaii thing, to go back to that.
Yeah. Like, I have a fear of winning the lottery.
Oh, yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
But then how do you live after
that?
And
what do you do? Yeah. Then people just bother you.
But it's fun to think about, right?
Yeah.
Did you learn some stuff about yourself today?
I did, yeah. It's a learning process. Learning about yourself is like tending the garden.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks so much for coming on. I had a lot of fun. And I think, yeah, it's time for us to motor on down to the Rivoli. To do the Alt.com comedy show, shout out.
Yeah,
if anyone listened this long,
boy.
Hey, this podcast is not going to be out this night, but if you listen to it, go back in time and go to the Rivoli.
Yeah, if you're just outside the window listening to us record this, come to the Rivoli.
Yeah. Also, what is your interesting job? Yeah, thanks a lot. Let's go. Let's go tell stand up.
Thank you. Let's get there.
Okay. Bye. Okay, guys, thanks again for listening. That was episode 25. That was Graham Chittenden, the man. Thanks, Graham, if you listen this far to your own podcast. Thanks again for coming on. You're the best, and that was a good time. And I hope you're driving somewhere cool in one of your cool cars listening to this. Actually, the cars that you have, most of them can't probably play audio sounds. But be careful out there. And you guys, if you loved listening to Graham, even if you didn't, follow him at Twitter, at Graham Chit, for updates on his amazing comedy career and all that. And thank you guys again for listening to me talk to a guy. And sometimes I talk to a girl. And yeah, follow us at Utopia to Me on Twitter. And also, you know what? Getting lots of nice feedback. It's very nice. Thank you so much to everyone who's into the podcast. We're still growing and it's fun, and I keep getting new listeners and new comments, so it's very nice. But vote for it on iTunes if you want. Leave some nice comments, spread the word. I really appreciate it. And follow me to find out all about my stand-up and comedy goodness. Lots of stuff happening at Chris Lock Fun. And that's the episode. So be nice out there. You know, wherever you are, just fucking do the moonwalk right now. Put this podcast listening device down, whether it's your phone, your iPod, your computer, or for some reason you hooked it up to your TV, or maybe you hooked it up to one of those science machines where when we talk, you can see the rhythms of our voice going up and down. Put that machine away and do the moonwalk for about an hour and see who lasts the longest. Thanks so much again for listening, and good luck with the moonwalk. Enjoy the planet. Bye. We'll be right back.
Thank you.